This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents On Heart's Boardwalk by Samantha Young. Read for you by Angelica Lee. Prologue. This scene wasn't me. If it ever had been me, it had been the me of yesteryear. The trendy bar, the low lighting, the sexy dress. Maybe 6 months ago, I would have felt uncomfortable at Germaine's, a bar I was visiting for the first time, because most people around me were in their 20s and early 30s. But at that moment, it was difficult to feel anything but hot and needy. The man across the bar was currently eye-fucking me. Yes, eye-fucking me. I could be ladylike and come up with a far sweeter descriptor, but really no other word could describe the heat in the stranger's eyes as he looked at me. I felt more than a pang of guilt that this stranger was the one making me feel this way. Like the dress I was wearing was too tight, too everything, and I couldn't wait to be naked. Naked and slick with sweat, as my body writhed under the scrutiny of the man who was staring at me like I was the very embodiment of sex. Staring at me in a way Nate hadn't looked at me in so long. At the reminder of the disconnect between me and my husband, I threw away my guilt and finally gave the stranger the small smile of encouragement he'd been waiting on. He crossed the room with his drink in hand and gave me the sexiest smile as he settled on the stool next to me. Our fingers grazed as he put his glass on the little round table, and I felt the hair at the nape of my neck stand on end. Our eyes met and locked. Suddenly, it felt difficult to breathe. There was so much tension coiling around my body. The only man who had ever made me feel this needy was my husband, and this stranger had the same magnetic sexual ability.
"I haven't seen you around here before,"
the stranger said, his eyes dipping to my mouth and then to my chest, visible in my low-cut dress. When his gaze came back to mine, I raised an eyebrow, as if to say, "Are you done?" The stranger laughed softly, and the husky sound elicited tingles between my legs. "I'm not from around here," I replied. He cocked his head to study me.
"Your accent, it's hard to place. East Coast, though, right?"
"Arizona, actually."
"I would never have guessed that."
I gave a little insouciant shrug, and he grinned, his eyes roaming my face. Years ago, I would have squirmed under his perusal, geeking out and stumbling over my words. Nate had changed me. Doubt stopped me from returning the man's smile. My husband had done a lot for me. No, he wasn't perfect, and he'd hurt my feelings deeply of late. But I knew I should be giving my come-hither smiles to him, and not to this guy. Pretending might not be what was best for me right now.
"God, you're sexy as fuck," the stranger said. "I've been fantasizing about you since the moment you walked into Germaine's."
And as shallow as that was, the hoarse sincerity in his words gave me pause. Nate wasn't here. It wasn't Nate who wanted me like this. It was the stranger.
"Stop thanking so much."
I actually heard Nate's voice in my head.
"Play a little, Lev."
At the perverse imaginary encouragement of my husband, I leaned farther over the table, giving the stranger a better look down my dress. "Tell me."
"Tell you?"
"About this fantasy of yours." And so he did. In detail. Until my hands were trembling with want. Until my nipples were tight and my breasts swollen. And I was seconds away from tearing off my dress and throwing myself at this potent man.
"What do you think?" the stranger said. "Sounds like something you might want to make a reality."
The part that was warring within me, full of guilt and worry, I shoved to the back of my mind. Yes. The stranger's eyes darkened with pleasure, and he slowly, gracefully stood up from the stool and held his hand out to me. All the reasons I shouldn't do this swirled in my head. I was married, for one. I had two kids depending on my acting sensibly. And I was in another country, far from home, where no one knew me. This was irresponsible. I should feel guilty as hell. And yet somehow, I still slid off that stool, put my hand in the stranger's, and let him lead me out of the bar. Chapter 1. 1 month earlier. You would think that after almost 10 years of marriage and 14 years together, I might have lost those magical tingles in my lady places when I looked at my husband. But you would be wrong. Watching my sleeping husband beside me in bed, I still felt a surge of desire. But now the sensation was overshadowed by longing, worry, and hurt. Nate Sawyer was still a handsome bastard. In sleep, he looked younger than his years, his features smooth and relaxed, despite the peppering of gray in the hair at his temples. He still had a head of thick hair, and I suspected he always would. Dark with sprinkles of gray, salt and pepper, or full-on gray, it wouldn't matter. With his naturally tanned skin and movie star good looks, my husband would always be attractive. Even when he was awake and you could see the rugged, sexy smile lines that crinkled the corners of his eyes, he was hotter than he ever had been as far as I was concerned. There was something completely unfair about the fact that men seemed to grow more appealing with age while women had to work at that shit. Tracing his features with my eyes, I just stopped myself from reaching out and touching him. Nate was tired a lot lately, and I didn't want to wake him up for Saturday morning nookie when I suspected he wouldn't thank me for it. And wasn't that just the most depressing thought ever? There had been a time when Nate Sawyer wanted nothing more in this life than to be woken up with his wife's mouth. Don't get me wrong, we were still having regular sex. But it wasn't like it used to be. We had had sex last night. We both came. But there was something almost perfunctory about it. Like it was part of our routine or something. Nate just finished, rolled off me, leaned over to switch off the bedside light, said goodnight, and bam, he was asleep. No kissing, no cuddling, no whispering about our day. Nothing. And I fell asleep with tears on my pillow. Not for the first time. Feeling those tears prick my eyes anew, I huffed at my sentimentality and blinked the stinging wetness away. I was being so ungrateful. Look at my life. I had a great life. Nate and I had made two beautiful kids. And God, did I mean beautiful. Lily was 11 and January was 8. And the two of them had gotten the best of the both of us. They were the spitting image of each other with their gorgeous olive skin and tumbles of dark hair. The only differences between them were that Lily had my golden hazel eyes and Nate's mouth, while January had Nate's dark chocolate eyes and my mouth. But thankfully, they both got Nate's dimples. On my husband, those dimples were hot as hell. On my girls, they were the sweetest dimples in the world. Upping their cute factor by 10 zillion. They were adorable kids. Lily was our sweet little angel, with a quiet, quirky sense of humor like her mama, whereas Jan was louder, outgoing, and full of mischief. Although they could fight like cats and dogs, something most sisters were known for, I'd been informed, Jan was super protective of her big sister. Adorably, bossily protective of her sister. It was as though, despite her young years, she understood that Lily had a sensitive soul that needed to be protected from those who wouldn't treat her with care. Yes, I had the best kids. I had a great job as head librarian at the University of Edinburgh. A nice house in Kirkliston, just a 35-minute commute from the city center. We'd moved out there because it was more affordable, and we could get a 4-bedroom house for a fraction of what it would cost us in the city. Since Nate had gone into business for himself, and his photography company was doing well, and had been for the last few years, we were financially comfortable. So my husband worked a lot, and our weekly date nights that we'd promised to each other to keep our relationship fresh were a thing of the past. However, it was really the last year or so that had taken a toll on our relationship. The older the kids got, the more extracurricular activities they got involved in, the bigger their friendship circles grew, and I felt like I spent half my life splitting chauffeuring services with my husband, driving our kids all over the city. Plus, we both were busy with our careers. We were busy. Busy, busy, busy. Somehow, though, we made it work. Until about a year ago, when we got so busy, we stopped making it work so well. And then it got worse 6 months ago, when Petey... Nate's alarm suddenly blared into the air, and I jolted my head around, staring up at the ceiling. I heard my husband groan beside me and felt the duvet shift across my body as he twisted around to switch off his alarm. Then the duvet was shoved toward me and the mattress depressed as he sat up and swung his legs out of bed.
"Morning,"
he mumbled sleepily and got up, scratching his bare chest as he wandered toward our ensuite bathroom. His pajama bottoms hung low, showing off the top half of his muscular backside, and I flushed at the streak of arousal that coursed through my body. Nate was a martial artist, and he ran a judo club with our friend Cam McCabe and their friend Josh McPhee. They were all 5th Dan graded, meaning they were senior member black belt holders in the British Judo Association and extremely skillful. They also had their qualifications to coach. Nate had tried to coax me and Cam's wife, Jo, into taking classes, but it was never really something I was all that into. But our girls were into it, and I liked that not only were they learning to defend themselves, they were learning it from their dad. So I was into that. I was also into the fact that my husband liked to keep in shape, and at 42 years old, he had a better physique than most men half his age. So why then, as I watched him close the bathroom door behind him, did I feel that achy longing in my chest whenever I got turned on just looking at him? Honestly, I didn't even want to analyze it because the fear of what it all meant was paralyzing. I got up out of bed instead, and had just pulled on my robe and was about to leave the room when I heard the toilet flush, the tap run, and then Nate appeared.
"Don't," he said, sauntering over to his dresser to pull out a t-shirt. "I'll get breakfast this morning."
As he pulled the t-shirt over his head, I thought again how lucky I was. Nate and I shared all of our parental responsibilities. I never felt like I was alone in parenting Lily and Jan, for anything. So why was I unhappy? "Okay, I'll grab a quick shower then." He nodded and passed me by. No kiss good morning. And it wasn't until I was in the shower that I let myself cry, where no one could see or hear me. By the time I wandered into the kitchen, there was no trace of my tears. I hadn't done my makeup yet, and my hair was only semi-dry, but the hot water had brought a flush to my cheeks, and that, with my bright, cheery smile, was all it took to make my kids believe everything was right in their world. That was what mattered most to me, that my kids thought everything was good and right in their world. The girls were sitting on high stools at the island in our kitchen, eating chocolate chip pancakes and watching their dad as he made them on the stove. He glanced up at me as I wandered in and smiled. Correction. Sometimes his dimples were adorable too.
"Want some?"
He was wearing his glasses, and I couldn't help but smile back. Sure, my tenderness and love was written all over my face. Nate didn't seem to notice, turning back to watch his pancakes. A few years ago, he had to get reading glasses, and he hated them, but I loved them. They made him geeky hot, like Clark Kent, when normally he was Superman. Truth was, while growing up, waiting for my perfect guy to show up, I'd always wanted a Clark Kent, preferring him over the too-perfect Superman. I got Nate instead. Glasses or no, it didn't matter. I loved my husband beyond all reasoning. So I used to think I would take him any way I could get him. Used to.
Morning, Mummy!
Jan shouted, bringing my attention back to my sweet girls. There was rarely a time when Jan didn't shout in greeting, and I envied my kid her boundless enthusiasm and energy. I swooped over to them, standing in between them, and wrapping my arms around their little shoulders, drawing Lily's head to me first so I could kiss her cheek, and then Jan's.
Morning, Mum.
Lily smiled sweetly up at me over her shoulder. They were both still in their pajamas, Lily in purple with stars, and Jan in blue with a Pixar Nemo pattern. Their long tangles of dark hair tumbled around their shoulders and down their backs in adorable bedhead style.
So, what is on the agenda today, kiddos?
Nate asked, turning around to put three chocolate chip pancakes on a plate. He shoved the plate toward me and then turned to his daughters expectantly.
I'm going swimming with my friends, Lily said after swallowing a bite of pancake. I need someone to drop me off at Lucy's house. Her mom is taking us.
I want to come,
Jan shouted around a mouthful of pancake. I grabbed some cutlery Nate had put out and poured myself a glass of orange juice.
Don't speak with your mouth full, baby.
But I want to go.
No,
Lily shook her head.
It's my friends, Jan. Lucy didn't invite you.
So you invite me,
Jan said in a duh voice that made me bite my lip to stifle my smile. I shared a look with Nate and saw he was struggling not to laugh.
I can't invite you.
Can't so?
Jan shoved her, and Lily gripped the counter to stay on her stool.
Hey, Nate said sharply, pointing a spatula at our youngest. Apologize to your sister, but I won't take you to the cinema today.
Really? Can we see the dragon movie again?
I winced in sympathy for my husband because we'd already seen that movie at the beginning of the month. But Nate didn't even flinch.
Only if you apologize to your sister.
Jan wrapped her little arm around Lily and squeezed her close.
Sorry, Lily Billy. You can have my last pancake if you want.
Lily giggled and squirmed out of her sister's hold and graciously allowed Jan to keep her pancake. Sensing peace reigning again, I took the stool next to January and started to dig into my pancakes as Nate made a few more for himself.
Mummy, are you coming with us to see the dragon movie?
No, baby girl.
Nate spoke for me, turning around to sit at the counter with his breakfast.
Mum is going shopping with Auntie Jo today, remember? We're going to have a daddy-daughter day.
Jan clapped her hands in excitement, but I noted Lily's downcast expression. She hadn't had a daddy-daughter day in a while.
Hey, Lily Billy,
I called softly, and she looked up at me.
How about you and I have a mommy-daughter day tomorrow, and then next weekend, we'll switch.
I gestured to Nate. He caught on quickly.
Daddy-daughter for me and you, Lil? Next Saturday, and Jen and Mum can have a mummy-daughter day on Sunday.
The girls seemed happy with this arrangement. Me? Well, I was just wondering what happened to Family Day. I'd come up with the idea of individual daughter time myself, of course. But still, where were Nate and I in all of this? Were we not to even spend time together with our kids? Then, of course, it hit me that we were spending time together right now, and it was more than what some families had. I needed to slap the ungratefulness out of myself.
Would you rather have a big spot on your nose for the rest of your life, or have a bogey hanging from it for the rest of your life?
Jan said. I let myself relax into breakfast as soon as she asked the question. It was tradition. Our would-you-rather games, something Nate and I had passed on to our kids. So what if Nate and I were disconnected lately? We still had this with Jan and Lily, and I was not going to waste my time mooning over my dissatisfaction when I could be enjoying my family.
A big spot or a booger?
I said. She nodded seriously.
That is a tough one.
Nate mused.
Very tough, I agreed. But I'm going to have to go with Booger.
Ugh,
Lily giggled.
Why the boogie?
Jan cackled hysterically, probably at the thought of her mother with a permanent booger hanging from her nose. I reached out and tickled her, making her laugh harder, as I explained. Pimples are painful. Boogers are not.
I think I'm with your mom on this one,
Nate grinned.
Me too,
Lily said.
Then I choose the big spot, my youngest declared.
Of course she did. My kid liked to be different from everybody else.
Would you rather lick stamps for the rest of your life or my feet?
Lily smiled mischievously, sticking out her foot to wiggle her little toes.
Stamp,
Jan declared, throwing her sister a disgusted look. Nate and I shared an amused look.
I don't know, my husband said. Those little piggies are very cute.
Very, I agreed. I'm going to have to go with your feet.
In fact,
I slid off my stool. I think I'm going to start right now.
No!
Her girlish laughter lit up the room as she jumped off her stool to run from me.
I'm too old for this, Mum,
she objected, but still she ran, and still she laughed, managing to get past me and out of the kitchen. I finally caught up with her in Nate's study, sweeping my 11-year-old into my arms and tumbling to the ground with her as we laughed at our ridiculousness. Thoughts of my husband's distance and lack of passion toward me disappeared, fading out into the background. This, I thought, as I tickled my kid, her giggles like bubbles of champagne popping on my skin. This is my happiness. Chapter 2. This morning with my kids felt like a distant memory as I stared at my reflection in the mirror. The mirrors and lighting in most changing rooms were atrocious. I didn't understand why they put such crappy lighting and mirrors in there because they made us normal ladies with our cellulite and problem areas look like shit in the clothes we tried on. I hadn't even gotten into the dress Joe had insisted I try on for the upcoming birthday party I wasn't sure I wanted. Instead, I'd gotten lost in the image in front of me. Me, in my bra and knickers. A long time ago, Nate had helped me. I stopped hating what I saw in the mirror and started to see myself through his eyes. However, I'd never truly gotten comfortable with my naked body. When you had self-esteem and weight issues like me, it wasn't something you ever really got over. I'd just gained confidence over the years. But with age, the confidence started to wane instead of increase. So much so, I'd let Joss talk me into joining her gym and being her gym buddy. I didn't have a lot of time for it, but I made time, and Joss kept me on track. Still, I liked my food. And after having two kids, I was fuller figured than I was when Nate and I first got together. My weight also tended to yo-yo when I was feeling particularly stressed. Since Petey. Well, I'd put on weight. My waistline wasn't as trim. My little belly pouch was bigger, although it didn't jiggle because Joss made me do a million sit-ups. Okay, that was an exaggeration, but it felt like it. And although my legs were long and slender, I had cellulite on the backs of my thighs that no amount of running or time on the cross trainer and exercise bike seemed to be able to take care of. Moreover, my breasts were no longer as perky as they used to be. Not that they were ever perky per se, because they were too large to be truly perky, but they definitely sat higher on my chest 10 years ago. I looked tired. I felt old. And sad. The sob burst out of me before I could stop it. Suddenly, the curtains on my changing room split open momentarily, and Joe stepped through them, closing them behind her before staring into the mirror in concern.
Liv, what is it?
I tried to get a handle on my runaway emotions, but I just couldn't. My best friend turned me around and pulled me toward her, holding me tight. I wrapped my arms around her, feeling how slender she was under my hands, and for some stupid reason it made me cry harder. Joe was a knockout, like the most beautiful woman I'd ever met in real life. She couldn't possibly understand what I was feeling. But she was Joe. She was also the kindest, most compassionate woman I'd ever met. She could try to understand what I was feeling. "I'm turning 40," I managed to calm down enough to whisper. "That's what's wrong. And I don't think my husband is attracted to me anymore." Joe decided dress shopping should wait. And once I had myself together and was in my own clothes, we got in my car and drove back to Kirkliston to my empty house. My friend insisted I sit down in our snug at the back of the house. It was our smaller, cozier sitting room, while she got us some wine. Once we were situated with a giant glass of red wine for each of us, Joe put on the stereo so Lord Huron played softly in the background, and she demanded, "Speak." The need to tell someone, to share how lonely I'd been feeling these last few months, made the confession bubble up out of me. I didn't feel cornered into sharing. I knew I needed this. Nate had always been the person I'd turned to when I was feeling sad. Now that I didn't have him, it was time to lean on my friends. It started with pity. Pain shimmered in Joe's eyes, and I reached out to squeeze her hand. 6 months ago, Cam and Nate's childhood friend Petey was killed in a car crash with his wife, Lynn. Years ago, just a few years after Nate and I got together, the couple had moved up to Aberdeen for Lynn's job, and we hadn't seen nearly as much of them. But Nate and Cam stayed in contact with Petey, and he and Lynn always came back to their hometown of Longniddry so their daughter, Sarah, could be with her grandparents. The guys had grown up together. They were close. So Petey's death had hit them both hard. They grieved together, and I was glad they had each other. But Cam seemed to turn to you, I said to Joe. He seems to be working through the loss. Joe nodded. He is, if anything, we're closer. It was just a reminder that life is short, you know. Embrace what you have. Jealousy swept through me, and I hated myself for it. Nate turned away from me, I whispered, aching with the pain of it. Not physically. We still have sex, but it's like he isn't really there. There's no passion between us anymore, and we always had passion. Lev, have you spoken to him about it? I'm afraid to. I'm afraid to know what's going on in his head because I don't think I'm going to like it. I'm not what I was, I gestured to myself. I mean, I've never been perfect. But you know Nate, he liked his women any way he could get them. I wonder if this disconnect between us, this distance, is because Petey's death has made him think about his own life, and maybe it's not what he thought it would be. I'm scared he's unhappy with where our life is now. He's fallen out of love with me. I wiped at the tears that flowed silently and quickly down my cheeks.
Never, Liv, never.
Joe shook her head, adamant.
This is Nate we're talking about.
But you haven't been here. You haven't... It's the little things, you know? We used to kiss and cuddle after sex and talk about our day. In the morning, he'd always kiss me before seeing the girls. And then he'd kiss me before he left the house. I'd be doing the dishes or making dinner or pottering around. And if the girls were out of sight, he'd come up behind me and feel me up like we were teenagers. It's all gone now. It all stopped after Petey died, and I have no clue what that means. I feel him slipping through my hands, and I have all these thoughts racing around in my mind.
What thoughts?
That maybe he has met someone else? The words were out before I could stop them. My deepest fear finally given a voice. Joe looked horrified by the suggestion.
No way. Nate would never cheat on you.
I know that. I did know that. That doesn't mean he hasn't met someone. I took a huge swig of wine, trying to numb the knife-like hurt the thought provoked in my gut. I don't know what else to think. I'm just so tired of feeling invisible whenever my husband is around. My friend stared at me thoughtfully.
What are you saying? That you don't want to be with him anymore?
I'm saying I hate the way I feel about myself when I'm with him. And no, that couldn't last. For the sake of my kids and my sanity, that couldn't last.
Scooching forward on the armchair she sat on, Joe said,
I'll tell you something I haven't told anyone. A few years ago, Cam and I went through a pretty bad rough patch. It was when he started his new job and he was working constantly. Any free time he had, he spent with Belle, which I didn't begrudge at all.
She referred to their daughter, Belle, was 7 years old now, and a big sister to Joe and Cam's one-year-old son, Louis.
I started to feel just like you said, invisible and hurt. So hurt, Liv.
She grabbed my hand and squeezed it in solidarity.
Finally, I turned up at his work on Valentine's Day.
He'd said he was working late, but I wanted to surprise him. Instead, I was surprised to discover that while he was supposedly working late, some young, gorgeous little witch of a colleague was perched on his desk flirting with him. I lost it. Everything I'd been feeling those last few months just came rushing out of me in a hurt rage. I threatened to leave him.
Oh my God. I'd had no idea Joe and Cam had ever had a moment in their relationship when Joe would ever think of leaving him.
As wrong as Cam had been to take me for granted, I was wrong too. I didn't tell him how I was feeling because I was scared of what he'd say. So instead, I just let it fester until it blew up into a massive argument. Threatening to leave him hurt him as much as his neglect hurt me. It was a mess. A mess that might not have happened if I'd just spoken up about how I was feeling.
But you're okay now.
Of course we are. She assured me. And you and Nate will be too.
I shook my head, still gripped too tightly by my fear.
I think I'm afraid to know the truth.
Before Joe could respond, we startled at the sound of the front door slamming shut. I frowned, glancing at the clock on the wall. I thought Nate was taking Jan out for dinner after their day together. And why was he slamming the door? Uh-oh. I really hoped Daddy-Daughter Day hadn't ended in disaster. Joe leaned into me quickly, her thumb swiping under my right eye.
A little bit of mascara,
she whispered. I smiled gratefully at my friend. Even if she thought I needed to speak with Nate, she wanted me to reveal everything at my pace. The last thing I needed was Nate seeing evidence of my tears and questioning it. The door to the snug opened, and Nate nodded at Joe as he wandered over to the stereo to turn off Lord Huron.
All right, Joe?
He asked.
Good. You?
Aye, not bad.
He finally looked at me, and I stiffened at the blank expression he wore.
Lucy's mum called and said Lily is staying for dinner. Mum and Dad caught up with me and Jan in the city today. They wanted to take her for dinner, so she's with them. And then they're going to pick Lily up from Lucy's for us later. Means it's just us for dinner tonight. Unless you're staying, Joe.
Oh, no. I better get back.
Joe stood up.
I'll give you a lift,
I said, scrambling to my feet.
I'll do it.
Nate nodded to my wine. Of course. I gave him a tremulous, grateful smile.
Thanks. I don't want to put you out, Nate,
Joe said, grabbing her purse off the floor.
When is getting you home safe ever putting me out, sweetheart?
he said congenially. She smiled at him and then hugged me tight. So tight. And I knew it was her way of silently saying, talk to him, and I'll be here for you after. I loved my friend. I kissed her cheek and bid her goodbye. I'll make dinner, I said as I followed them to the door and asked Nate, what do you fancy?
Let's order something in,
he said, not looking at me.
When I get back.
As I waited for him to come home to our empty nest, I paced and paced, and paced some more, wondering if Joe was right and I should come out and ask him up front what was going on. I thought I'd even worked up the courage, but when Nate finally walked through that door, my bravery fled. Instead, I wondered if it might be possible to just try and make things better with him. I didn't want to leave my husband, for goodness sake. I just had to stop feeling sorry for myself and try harder. So, when he was pouring me another glass of wine as we waited on our Chinese takeaway being delivered, I hugged into his side. He didn't pull away, but he didn't hug me back either. The distance between us was even worse than usual. Nate seemed far away, pensive, lost in his thoughts. I knew he wasn't even paying attention to the action movie I'd put on, and it was one of his favorites. Foreboding crept over me as the evening progressed, lightened marginally when Nate's parents, Nathan and Sylvie, dropped the kids off and stayed for a cup of tea. Nate laughed with the kids and put them to bed. However, when his parents left and he and I went to bed, the distance became cavernous. I switched off my bedside lamp like always and waited. Nate switched off his light. The duvet shifted as he pulled it toward him. No goodnight. No kiss. No sex. Chapter 3. Sleep evaded me for most of the night, and just as I eventually drifted off into dreamland, the dawning sun shone through our curtains and prodded my eyes open. I lay there in the early hours of the morning, with my back to my husband, staring at the wall in front of me. The whole time I questioned whether I was blowing things out of proportion. Maybe I was being ungrateful. Maybe this was how marriage progressed, and I needed to wake up to the reality of it. I just never thought that my marriage would be like so many others. For the longest time, I was annoyingly smug about our relationship. I always thought the reason Nate and I had such a strong marriage was because we started out as best friends. We used to be able to tell each other everything. We had the same sense of humor. I mean, we laughed. A lot. And just as important as our emotional connection was our physical connection. Up until a year or so ago, our sex life had been fantastic. Of course, it was never going to be the same after we had kids, because we didn't have the same privacy. But we got creative. We made time for our passion for one another. Until we stopped making time.
I knew you're awake,
Nate said, and I felt the mattress move and the duvet shift over me as Nate turned. Surprised, I slowly turned around to face him, shoving my hair out of my face. Nate lay with his elbow bent on his pillow and his head braced on the palm of his hand. There was pain in his eyes and, if I wasn't mistaken, remorse. Nate? I sat up, my head feeling heavy with lack of sleep. He licked his lips, his eyes intensely focused on mine.
Yesterday, I got home earlier than you think I did. I heard yours and Joe's voices coming from the snug over the music, and I was about to go in, let you know I was home, when your conversation stopped me.
Fear settled weightily in my gut. Nate,
stop.
He pushed up off the pillow and sat up, running his fingers through his mass of hair.
I didn't know how to react yesterday, and I probably made everything worse.
I should have talked to you, I whispered, feeling guilty that he'd had to hear what was going on in my head about our marriage because I was confiding in a girlfriend instead of him.
I should have. I felt like someone stabbed me in the fucking stomach.
I hate the way I feel about myself when I'm with him.
That's what you said.
Tears of anguish filled my eyes. Nate, I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean...
You did mean it.
He choked out before I could say another word.
Because that's how I've made you feel.
For a moment, we were silent as I fought for the courage I needed. Finally, I just forced the question out.
Why?
He understood what I was asking and shrugged sadly.
I felt lost since Petey died.
Our problems started before Petey, Nate. They just got worse when he died.
We didn't have problems, for Christ's sake, he snapped. We got our kids, and we both have jobs that take up way too much fucking time. So we let our relationship slide by the wayside for a time. Every couple goes through that. We've been through it before. But we always say enough is enough, and find our way back to each other.
Anger flushed through me.
But you have never shut me out emotionally before. Even when we were too busy to sit and have a long chat or pay for a hotel room on our lunch hour for hot sex, we always had affection and openness. You don't touch me anymore unless it's to roll on top of me, come, and then go to sleep.
Nate flinched, the muscle in his jaw flexing as he looked away.
Have you met someone else?
The words were out before I could stop them. I wished I'd stopped them. The look my husband threw me could have felled a lion. Furious, he threw off the duvet and launched himself out of bed. I watched warily as he paced alongside it, then turned to face me. It was almost as if I could feel his anger scorch my skin.
See, he said, his voice hoarse. When I heard you say that to Joe yesterday, I wanted to put my fist through the wall. But thinking about everything during the night, I talked myself into the idea that you'd only voiced unbelievable fucking stupid shite like that because you were emotional.
I winced at his shout and hissed, "Do not wake the girls." His hands curled into fists at his side.
"Liv,"
he warned. My answer was to get out of bed and face him with a mammoth bit of furniture between us.
It is not stupid of me to wonder if my husband, who I barely recognize as my husband, is fantasizing about someone else. I know you would never cheat. That doesn't mean there isn't someone out there that you have feelings for and are confused over. It would make sense. I mean, anything is better than the idea that you are no longer attracted to me and have fallen out of love with me.
Nate stared at me incredulously.
After everything we've been through, how could you think any of that?
He was hurt, deeply, and it gave me pause.
Then explain. I'm not going insane, Nate. I feel like you're a million miles away, and I'm not making that up in my head. Do you really hate who you are when you're with me?
He asked, sounding defeated.
I don't like how insecure I feel right now. I don't like that I'm finding ways to blame myself for your defection. I don't like that I'm standing in front of mirrors in my underwear sobbing because I feel fat, unattractive, and old, and wondering if my hot husband sees me the same way. That isn't the kind of role model I want to be for my girls. And I know that turning 40 might have something to do with it, but not all. Because if you were my Nate, the Nate I married, I would feel beautiful and sexual and needed and wanted. And I can't go on feeling invisible around you.
He crossed his arms over his chest, clearly on the defense.
Are you saying you're thinking about leaving me?
Are you saying I'm no longer needed and wanted?
I love you!
He suddenly roared, and I flinched.
I lost my fucking friend, and I lost myself along the fucking way! Where's my Liv? The Liv I married is compassionate, not fucking roasting me on the spit, blaming me for every fault in our marriage months after my friend dies.
In that moment, I'm ashamed to admit that I forgot about our kids, and I yelled back.
Cam didn't shut Joe out. He turned to her, because that's what married people do. When something tragic happens, you turn to the person you love, Nate. You don't turn away from them. So don't stand there and turn this all on me. What does it say about our marriage, Nate? What does it say? So you want to leave me? He cried, face red with fury. You want to give up? Because that's what it sounded like yesterday. Go then. Pack your fucking bags and go. But the girls stay with me.
Agonizing pain and fury mingled.
You son of a bitch.
Mummy? We froze at the sound of Lily's voice outside our door. Our heavy breathing, the only noise in the room. Lily hadn't called me Mummy in a few years.
Mummy?
She sounded scared, and so much younger than 11 years old. I flew to the door, throwing it open, to find Lily standing outside it with fear in her eyes, while her little sister held her hand and glared at me.
Oh, babies.
I lowered my haunches, tugging them toward me.
Are you and Dad, Lily, mad at each other?
Lily whispered. Guilt overwhelmed me. My kids had been lucky. Nate and I had a passionate relationship, so of course the kids had heard us have disagreements. But those arguments very rarely involved an all-out shouting match and ugly, hateful words.
Of course not,
Nate said above my head. Then suddenly he was on his knees by my side, one arm around me and one around the girls. I couldn't help but stiffen under his touch, but he ignored it.
Mum and I were just having a disagreement about something, but it's nothing to worry about. We're sorry we upset you.
He pressed kisses to their faces until Jan was giggling and pushing him away. Lily, however, stared into his face solemnly.
You told Mum to leave us.
Tears filled my eyes and I looked away. He had. He told me to leave. He'd never told me to leave.
That was wrong of me,
Nate said, his voice thick with emotion.
Sometimes your dad says stupid stuff he doesn't mean. And I'm sorry.
I shot to my feet, not feeling very forgiving.
Come on, babies. Let's get you washed and dressed. I'll take you out for breakfast.
As I moved to usher them toward their rooms at the other end of the hall, Nate grabbed my wrist and stood up to face me. I reluctantly turned to him.
We'll take them out for breakfast.
Realizing he was right, that we'd have to show a united front if we were to reassure the kids, I nodded. But I couldn't meet his eyes. While I got the girls ready, Nate washed and dressed in our room. I left the girls with him downstairs so I could get ready for the day. The entire time, I'd felt like my insides were trembling. I tried to tell myself it was adrenaline and I was okay, but I felt like I was so very close to shattering into a million pieces. Nate was avoiding the real issue between us. Why he wouldn't turn to me in a time of need. And it scared me. Once I'd showered, I wrapped my hair in a towel and another larger one around my body and stepped out into the bedroom. I halted abruptly at the sight of my husband sitting on the end of the bed, clearly waiting for me. His eyes drifted up my body in a way they hadn't in a while, like he was seeing me, really seeing me. When our eyes met, there was frustrated heat mingled with residual anger in his.
I should never have said that,
he said, running a hand through his hair. Then he slumped forward, his elbows resting on his knees, as he stared at the carpet.
You know it would kill me if you left me. It was a stupid thing to say.
His eyes flew to mine.
Don't leave me, Liv.
The tears I'd been holding back spilled down my cheeks.
You left me first.
Nate stood and crossed the short distance between us. He reached for me, cupping my face in his hands, pressing his body to mine.
I never left you,
he whispered across my lips.
I would never leave you.
Then where did you go? He brushed his thumb across my cheekbone, his expression tender and apologetic.
We both know I don't handle loss very well, babe. I'm not proud of it. Who is ever proud of their weaknesses? I'm sorry I didn't turn to you, and I'm more sorry than you could ever know that I made you think I'd stopped loving you.
His look changed, that anger from earlier returning.
But we promised to love each other and accept the good and the bad. This is my bad, and I need you to accept it. And while I accept responsibility for making you feel that way, and promise that things are going to change, you need to admit that locking this shit up is just as wrong. You should have trusted me enough to tell me how you felt. What does that say about our marriage, Lev?
He was right. I knew he was right. I sagged into him. What does that say about us?
Not what you're thinking.
He shook me, his countenance fierce.
Marriages are not perfect because people aren't perfect. But we've recognized our wrongs, and we can make this work again. Are you ready to give up on us?
Looking up into my beautiful husband's dark gaze, I shook my head, my tears falling fast.
Never. Good. He growled. Because I'll never stop fighting for you, Lev. Love of my fucking life.
He swiped away my tears.
We'll make this right.
I love you, I cried, wrapping my arms around him and pressing my face to his chest. His hands dropped and his arms banded tight around me. I'm sorry, too. We held each other tight for a moment until my tears subsided. Not wanting to, but knowing the girls would be hungry and antsy waiting for us downstairs, I pulled away. I better get ready. My husband nodded, and then he cupped my face again.
One other thing. How can you not know by now that I think you're beautiful? You still don't see what I see, which is a fucking shame, because if you did, you'd never get sick of looking at yourself. And if I ever hear you called yourself unattractive, fat, and old again, I will put you over my knee and spank the shite out of you.
Not really a deterrent, darling. I grinned, pleasure and relief suffusing me at his words. He grinned too, but as his gaze roamed my face, his smile melted under the heat that crawled over his expression. He kissed me. Sensing his mood, I opened to him, feeling the possessive, deep kiss between my legs. Eventually, we broke for air, and I sighed in relief.
We still have it.
Nate shook against me with laughter.
Yeah, babe, we definitely do.
I smoothed my hands over his hard chest.
We need to make time.
Soon. He nodded, desire darkening his eyes.
Aye.
No, I mean it, Nate. In an effort to be better at communication, I'm telling you now that it's important to me that at some point soon, you fuck me 6 ways until Sunday. His hands slid up my waist, his fingers curling into the edges of the towel as if he were desperate to pull it off me. His features were taut as his eyes blazed.
I think that can be arranged. And I mean fucked, Nate,
I whispered, my body tingling and hot at just the thought.
I want to feel sore in places I've forgotten existed.
Nate glared at me.
Stop baiting me when I don't have time to do anything about it.
He grabbed my hand, forcing it down his abs to the erection straining against his jeans. I rubbed the heel of my palm over it, and he hissed,
Wicked woman. I smiled triumphantly and rubbed harder.
Babe, we don't have time.
He shook his head, but didn't make a move to remove my hand. So, cruelly, I did.
You're right.
He was right. The kids were waiting. That didn't mean I didn't enjoy tormenting him.
You're sadistic,
he grunted, stepping away from me to drag his hands over his face. It's just a little teaser. Hearing the laughter in my voice, he narrowed his eyes.
I will get you back for that.
Maybe you should tie me up and have your way with me.
He licked his lips, his gaze smoldering.
You can count on it, babe.
Chapter 4. The obstacle in our way to having makeup sex was the kids. I could only deduce that the girls were feeling wary after hearing their parents' shouting match and had decided to stick to us like glue in an effort, I imagine, to keep an eye on us. This meant we could make love quietly in bed at night, which was lovely, but were yet to engage in the wild monkey sex we both knew would release the ever-increasing tension between us. The tension was part sexual, part emotional. Even though we'd made up, I still felt like Nate hadn't really told me everything about what he was going through since Petey's death. And when I tried to bring it up, he changed the subject, or kissed me. Yes, he was attentive and affectionate again, working his way slowly back to being the old Nate. But something still felt off. Joe thought maybe I was just reeling from our big fight, but I wasn't so sure. However, I was willing to be patient and give Nate the time he needed to make his way back to me. Maybe then he'd finally confide in me everything that was in his head these last 6 months. A few weeks of parenthood passed like 24 hours, and before I knew it, it was time for my 40th birthday party. The party had been my girlfriend's idea, so I left them to organize it. Because honestly, I wasn't the biggest party person. They knew this. They just wanted an excuse to throw a party so we could all be together. Our friendship circle was tight, but over the years, as we gained more kids, we'd all gotten busy, so I let them throw me a party. The party was being held at Joss and Braden Carmichael's townhouse on Dublin Street because it was grand, stylish, and pretty much the perfect place for any party. Braden was a real estate mogul, and Joss was a best-selling author. They were successful, attractive, and wealthy, and yet you couldn't hate them for it because they were also witty, kind, and considerate. They had three kids and busy careers, and if you searched hashtag relationship goals, it was their picture that came up. Joss and I had been friends for a long time now, so I knew all those things, and I also knew that she may be hosting the party at her house, but she wasn't the one organizing it. That would be my other friend, Ellie, Joss's sister-in-law. Ellie was sweet, loving, hilarious, and a little off the wall, and she loved to organize stuff. Ellie was definitely handling the party with a little help from her husband, Adam, Braden's best friend and business partner. Joe, Joss, Hannah, Ellie and Braden's sister, Shannon, Joe's brother Cole's wife, and Grace, Shannon's brother Logan's wife. It was not a total surprise then when Nate and the girls led me into the townhouse on Dublin Street that I was greeted first and foremost by these ladies, their husbands, and their kids. Behind them, I saw a packed sitting room filled with acquaintances and work colleagues. Wow, I said under my breath as I smiled and hugged Ellie. You invited the entire city.
The more the merrier,
Ellie sing-songed, giving me a mischievous smile. Since I was the first of us ladies to turn 40 years old, I realized they didn't quite get the weirdness of it all. Not only did I have my concern for Nate to contend with, but I had all these thoughts about whether I'd really achieved what I thought I would have achieved by this age. Concerns over my appearance, and an obsession with the faint lines around my eyes and corners of my mouth, and a slight feeling of panic every now and then that life was just slipping by at the speed of light, completely out of my control.
I'll make sure to throw you the biggest party on the planet when you turn the big 4-0, Els. I squeezed her tight. Too tight.